Good morning, boys and girls. Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Today, I'm happy to be here with you. Who's happy to be here? All right, very nice. I'm be talking to you today. I'm not going to say any stories. I will be talking to you. You want to talk to me? I've got some questions for you. How many of you have ever been hungry? All of you have been hungry. Do you think Jesus cares if people are hungry? Do you think he cares if people get enough to eat? Okay, today I'm going to talk to you about Jesus feeding a lot of people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Do you know where Jesus got those bread and fish? A little boy, probably like one of you. I'm going to read in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 5. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that this may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Do you know why those people are coming to Jesus?
They love Jesus.
They love him. Do you have any other idea why?
Because they trust in him.
They trust him. That's good. What about you?
So that Jesus can preach to them.
So that Jesus can preach to them. You all right. People came to Jesus so that he can tell them about God's love. And that's what he did. He told them about God's kingdom. And then the other thing he did, do you know Jesus used to heal the sick? He healed the sick. And that day, Jesus had been preaching all day long. He had been telling them about Jesus, God's kingdom, and he had been healing the sick. Then, about supper time, that's when the disciples came to him. They were like, "Jesus, don't you think we can let these people go now? It's getting late, and they are hungry." The people had been hearing from Jesus, listening to him. They were so happy to be there that they didn't even think about getting something to eat. And now the disciples, knowing that they didn't have no food that time, they said, "Jesus, please let them go." Jesus told them, "Give them something to eat." I can imagine all of them looking at him. "We don't have no food." Imagining, what do you think? "We don't have no food. We are far away from the neighborhoods. What do you think you can do?" And Jesus asked, "Does anyone have some food?" And then in verse 7 of chapter 6, this is the Gospel of John. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, He said to the disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost." Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Can you imagine? They got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish from the little boy, and now they gathered what had left over. They had 12 baskets. You don't get it, do you? I don't get it either. I don't know how he did it. Anybody have an idea how? How do you think he did it?
Maybe he prayed.
Maybe he prayed. Yes, he did. He prayed.
By God's amazing power.
By God's amazing power. God is powerful. Almighty. It's not about what you bring. It's about who you bring it to. 5 loaves of bread, and now 12 baskets of bread were left over. Do you like sharing? Like the little boy? You might not have some money, you might not have some food, but you always have something to share. Maybe your toys, maybe your strength. Thank you so much for helping us gathering the land offering today. You want to say something?
God's power makes everyone hear the gospel.
Amen. So my message to you, want to say something? Okay. My message to you today is that whenever you are, you can share. Whatever you have, no matter how small, no matter how insignificant it can look, you can always share. And Jesus, who can do all those things, he'll find a way to bless people with those that you have. And he'll bless you too. And have a great Sabbath today. Somebody can pray for us. Want to pray? You pray yourself. Okay.
Dear Jesus, thank you for everything you have done to us, and we just come to church today to worship you, and your name be blessed, and you are to my heart for everybody, and Jesus died for us because of our sins, and he still loves us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Please, Jesus, thank you for all the stuff you've done for us, and I'm thankful that you died for us, and I'm thankful that you gave us powers, and we want to go in heaven with you, and we want to make sure we want to be an angel, and so we were. And we will come back soon. And when you come back soon, I hope we'll be ready. Amen.
Thank you. Now you can go back to your seats.
All right. It's time for us to seek our God through prayer. And so we ask if you have any blue card, please you can come forward. And also, if you want to be with us in front through prayer, please you can come up front. Close our eyes and then pray. Our Father, what in heaven, we are thankful this morning, Father, that you have allowed us, O Father, to enter into your Sabbath and also to enter into this sanctuary, O Father. Dear Lord, it's thought that because of you, we are worthy to see this day or to be in your presence, O Father. And because, dear Lord, you've loved us, yet while we were sinners, O Father, that, dear Lord, you are even willing to lose your only begotten Son, so that, dear Lord, we could be reconciled back unto you. This morning, Father, in our prayer, Father, may your name be hallowed through our worship, Father. And even this morning, Father, we come before you. Father, our hearts are burdened. These are your people. We are your children. Thank you for giving us yet opportunity, Father, to see this happy, this holy Sabbath. Dear Lord, our hearts are burdened from daily cares and tribulations and temptation. But we are thankful in our hearts, dear Lord, knowing that even through amidst the temptations and tribulations, you are with us, you walk with us in each and every step, guiding us and knowing that, dear Lord, through you, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are victors. This morning, as we present ourselves before you, we want to bring the speaker unto thee. Dear Lord, you know your child, your servant, even as you will be delivering your sermon, your words unto thy people. Dear Lord, may your Holy Spirit come down upon us, O Father, that you may speak unto our souls, O Father. You may touch our hearts, and dear Lord, that the words that you prepare for us shall find a place in our hearts, O Father, and dear Lord, we'll know that you are blessed, O Father, not because we are good, not because there's anything we have done to deserve your grace and mercy, but because, dear Lord, you've loved us in each and every moment of our lives, O Father. Thank you, dear our Father, this morning. Be with us, even through the worship, continue. May your presence continue to be upon us. For this our prayer, in Jesus' name.
Happy Sabbath, Church. It is called for offering, but before that, I would like to call my friend Emma to come up front. How are you doing this morning, Emma?
Doing great.
Thank you. How old are you, Emma?
7.
7 years old. I didn't know that. Do you love giving money?
Yes.
That's great. So how do you get money for Jesus?
I, most often, I look on the floor.
Oh. I would like to be in that house too.
Yeah.
So how do you give money to Jesus?
Most times I earn some money too. And sometimes mommy gives me some money.
It is not a wonderful house. I would like to work in that house too. So, so your dad told me that you started collecting money as young as 3 years old.
Uh-huh.
Why did you do that? So why did you do that?
I love doing it.
Mm-hmm.
For Jesus.
Thank you very much. She likes to do it for Jesus. So, is it something special to you?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. What do you say?
Amen.
Thank you. So, I would like to call the deacons to come forth. We have a word of prayer. Our gracious and loving God, it is such a beautiful moment that we humble ourselves before you, glorifying your holy name for the blessing that you've given us throughout the beginning of the week. And now that we are at your feet, you've asked us to return all that belongs to you, God. We pray that may this offering be effective into your work, and may through this offering, God, your work may go throughout the whole world. We are not commanding you in any way, but it is our special request through the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Happy Sabbath. Today, our scripture reading will be Jeremiah 12:5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have worried thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they worry thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan?
Amen. Happy Sabbath. It's a blessing to get an opportunity to see the bright faces on this Holy Sabbath day. And keeping your fingers on Jeremiah 12:5, I would like us to turn to Proverbs 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, verse 22. And when you get there, say amen. Amen. 17:22. And it says, a merry heart does good, like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. And the last time I checked, medications and medicines, they make us better. They make us feel better than we used to feel. So, having this in mind, I would like us to stand and shake the hands of the person seated in front of you or the person seated next to you with a joyful spirit and a merry heart. Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath. And now I would like to say the opening prayer. So let's close our eyes and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Mighty, ever-living God, we come at your throne of grace this beautiful morning, thanking you for the blessing and for the opportunity to worship with you this holy day. We are sinners and we ask for forgiveness of sins. And as we come at your throne of grace, I do ask that you might use me as a vessel and speak through me and pass the message to your people. How I ask that you might give us a learning heart and talk to us this holy day. And I do pray that you might help us to understand the message and to apply it in our normal lives as we will be going back to our homes after this holy day. And it's in Jesus' name that we believe and pray. Amen. So back to Jeremiah 12 verse 5. And it's one of my favorite verses. And I'm going to read it. If you have run with the footmen, and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace, in which you trusted, they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? And from the New International Version, instead of wearied, it says worn out. So it says, if you have run with the footmen and they have worn you out, then instead of saying contend, it says, how can you compete with the horses? I know Kenyans are famous for running, and being a Kenyan myself, there's no way a Kenyan or a footman can be compared to a running horse, right? So, if we have run with the footmen and they have wearied us out, how can we contend with the horses? And it doesn't stop there. And then it mentions about the floodplains of the Jordan. And if you read the first four verses that come before the fifth verse of Jeremiah, we see Jeremiah getting tired. He was impatient with the people of Judah because he was looking at the wickedness of the people of Judah, the violence maybe, poverty, immorality, everything that is familiar. We are familiar with what happens in this world also, because the same things that were happening in the times of Jeremiah are the same things that are still happening in the world we are living right now. And he had these questions, and he asked why the wicked were prospering. The wickedness was increasing at a high rate. And God did not leave him with an... God had an answer for Jeremiah. And the same way God had an answer for Jeremiah, he has an answer to us also this day. That's why he told Jeremiah, if he has run with the footmen and they have wearied him out. Jeremiah had a couple of challenges facing him, right? And it turns out that he might have been worn out. But then God explains to him that there might be further fiery trials coming in. There might be higher levels of trials and even persecution that might come on our ways. But we have to get ready. We have to expect trials and tribulations as Christians. And turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 12 and 13. 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 and 13. Amen. I had one. Amen. Amen. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though something strange happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you might also be glad with exceeding joy. And what really touches me about that verse, just think about the chapter verse 12 for a minute. It says, do not think it strange. What's the meaning of not thinking it strange? It means expecting, so that it doesn't hit you by surprise. And what do you do when you expect something? You get ready for it, right? And we are asked not to get surprised when trials and tribulations come our way. And it doesn't say trials, it says fiery trials. That's a greater extent of trials and tribulations that might come our way. But the good thing about the Bible, it asks our questions on one side and it answers on the other side. Because remember, in Ephesians chapter 6, we are told to put on the whole armor of God. If we see trials and tribulations coming our way, there's only one way to get ready for the trials and tribulations that might come our way, which is putting the whole armor of God. And the whole armor of God found in Ephesians 6, I'll go through it real fast. You don't have to go to Ephesians 6. It says, we should guard our waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we are asked to get ready for trials and tribulations by putting on the whole armor of God, so that it doesn't hit us by surprise. But 1 Peter 12 verse 13, it says, the 13 says that we should not only expect the trials and tribulations, but we should rejoice. Rejoice when we are faced with trials and tribulations, because then we partake of Christ's suffering, because Christ suffered. And we being Christians, we should expect sufferings. But we should not only expect sufferings, but we should suffer, but then have joy and hope, because Christ suffered also. And I would like us to go to James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. It's just the book behind Peter. It's just a couple of pages behind. No, amen. Amen. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So when faced with trials and tribulations, we should count it all joy. And the next verse tells us that the testing of our faith produces patience. And Jeremiah 12 verse 5, we see the picture that is portrayed to us on Jeremiah 12 verse 5 is people who are in battle, people who are running. And if you're contending with horses or if you're running with footmen, you need patience. And James 1 verse 2 tells us that the testing of your faith produces patience. And if you get a chance to talk to a person who is good at long distance running, he'll tell you that one important factor is patience. And the only way patience is developed is by practice. Practice and practice and practice. And spiritual patience is produced by a series of trials. Different series of trials, that's how we develop patience, so that we might not be wearied by the footmen. So that we might not be tired when we will be competing with horses. And even when the floodplain comes, we'll still be able to walk over the floodplains. We won't be stopped by the floodplains. And a couple of weeks ago, I got a chance to go to a marriage ceremony. And I was seated up front, and I got a chance to listen to the couple exchanging the vows. And for a moment, I thought deeply about those vows, because I've never taken a chance to deeply listen to how intense the vows are. And the husband starts by saying that he accepts to be with the wife for better or for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health. But then when I heard those vows, it immediately took me to Romans, where we have the spiritual vows. Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39. So turn with me to Romans 8, 38 and 39. Amen. That's why we have the spiritual vows. I had two amens over there. Amen. And I'm going to read it. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's faith in Christ no matter what happens. No matter what happens, because Jesus promises that he will be with us even to the end of days. Faith no matter what happens. And the two verses, they tear my heart out, just knowing how much Christ did for us. And I was reading John 16:33, and if you have a moment, turn to John 16:33, and let's listen what Jesus had to say. Amen. Amen. I didn't hear an amen from this side. Amen. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus the Creator tells us that in this world we will have tribulations. But he doesn't stop there, because he tells us that he overcame the world. And how did he overcome the world? By the cross. He gave us all he had just to save the humankind, the plan of redemption. If Jesus gave us all he had, the least we can do is at least try to be faithful in that which he has spoken to us through his word. We might get trials, we might get tribulations, but in spite of all that, we should be of good cheer, because we know that the battle is already won. The battle might be already won, but we still have a role to play. Still have a role to play. And let's go to Revelation 2 verse 10. It's a common verse, because that's the message to the Church of Ephesus. Revelation 2:10. Revelation 2 verse 10. Amen. 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 Revelation 2 verse 10 says, "Do not fear if any of these things which you are about to suffer." Do not fear of any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And you will have tribulations 10 days. But be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. How many of you have ever thought about going into a prison? It's not a good feeling, right? Not at all. Especially when you know you're innocent. But we are told not to fear any of these things. If we are to be cast into prisons for doing that which is in accordance to God's will, let it be. But of our own will, we cannot have the power to persevere and the power to endure. But Christ has not left us alone, but he has promised to be with us even to the end of days. And I was thinking about the 12 disciples that Jesus had, apart from Judas. How many of them were persecuted? 11? Or all of them? That's serious, right? Of the 12 disciples, we have 11 of them being persecuted. And that just tells us the extent of how much they had given their whole lives to Christ. Death did not stop them. Even when their lives were at stake, did not lose hope, even to the point of death. And I think we need to have that faith that the disciples had. And so that we might be able to apply it in our daily lives when we are faced with trials and tribulations, that we might have faith in the little things that we practice every day. And have you ever noticed that the best way for a light to be noticed is when it's dark in the room? In darkness, that's when the light shines out real good. And I think trials and tribulations are that darkness. But when darkness comes, it's very important that we might shine and be the light in that room. And that's when somebody told me that the greatest sermon is the sermon of our own lives. A life well lived is the best sermon. And if we shall live in accordance to God's will, having steadfast faith, we shall be that light even in pitch darkness. And it's very important for us to have that in mind. And just think about Paul. He had his head chopped off. And when he sent a letter to Timothy, he told him that he was with Christ in heavenly places while he was still in jail. He said he was in Christ in heavenly places when he was in jail. Because when Christ lives in your heart, you are in heavenly places amidst of everything that you might be going through at that moment. So that's a very important aspect to have in mind. And I was going through the book of The Great Controversy, and I got a chance to read somewhere where somebody who witnessed the death of John Huss and Jerome, he had something to say about the death of John Huss and the death of Jerome, which came shortly after the death of John Huss. And I'm going to read what he spoke about the death of the two great Christians. He said, "Both of them bore themselves with constant mind. When their last hour approached, they prepared for the fire as if they were going to a marriage feast. They uttered no cry of pain." Just think about that for a minute. They uttered no cry of pain because their hearts were already settled. They knew that when they died, when they opened their eyes, the first person who they'll see is Jesus. That's what was in their minds. And if we have run with the footmen and we've been wearied, how about when the horses come? And being a student, I understand that if you fail one semester, there's no way you're going through the next semester. And now if we have tired and if we have wearied while contending with footmen, do you think we stand a chance when the horses come? We do stand a chance when we fully dedicate our lives to Christ. That's the only way we stand a chance. And I have a story that happened in Kenya a couple of years ago. And in Kenya, a lot of people love going to circus. You know what a circus is? Where we have people doing presentations of playing with animals, playing with doing acrobats and all that. So there was this small family. It was the mother was a single parent, and she had a daughter who was 7 years old, and her name was Janet, and the name of the daughter or the name of the parent was Rebecca. And every time school closed, Janet loved to go to the circus with her mom. And it happened that when school closed, there was this big circus that was going to happen in the city which they lived. So when that day came, they got themselves ready and they went to the circus. And you know what happens in a circus? We have music playing on the background. Not Christly music, but we have music playing on the background, and we have a lot of people, because that specific circus, it involved like 10 or 12,000 people. A lot of people came to that circus. And they were going through different stations, viewing different presentations. And suddenly Janet noticed that she couldn't find her mom. So she might have lost the sight of her mom, and she was stranded on one of the stations. And she started crying because she couldn't see her mom, and all she could see was a lot of people just walking by and by. And one lady came and approached Janet, and she asked the little girl, "Why are you crying?" And Janet said that she was with her mom, but she can't find her mom no more. So the lady who approached Janet tried to get a hold of the master of ceremony so that they could make an announcement to see if they could get a hold of Janet's mom, but the place was too noisy and it was hard to pass an announcement audible for everyone. So the lady had to call the police to come and try to get the situation taken care of. So the police took Janet and he sat her on the passenger side, the front passenger side, and he asked her if she knew her mother's name. And she just knew her mother's first name. She's a small 7 or 6 year old girl. So that was not of much help to the police. So the police asked if Janet knew where she stayed, if she knew her address, but she didn't know the address of her house. So the police asked if she knew what part of town she used to stay or where the house is located, but Janet knew that they stayed on the west side of town. So Janet told the police that she believes that their house is on the west side of town. So what the police decided to do is that the police decided to go to the west side of town and just drive around trying to see if anything, any building or any house might be familiar to Janet in bid to locate their house. So they drove for a while, for like 20, 30 minutes, but Janet couldn't find any house that looked familiar to their house. But then the police asked Janet if she knew any building that would stand out just close to their house, or any river or any tree or anything that just might give them a clue of where their house might be located. And Janet thought for a while and she remembered that close to their house there is a church, and the church has a cross, has a big white cross on top of it. So Janet told the police that if you can take me to that specific church with a cross on top of it, I think from there I can locate our house. So the police drove to a couple of churches. The first church didn't look familiar at all. The second church did not look familiar also. The third church did not look familiar. But the fourth church looked familiar to Janet. So Janet said, "I think that's the church we're looking for." And when they got closer, that was the church that Janet used to attend. So from there, she managed to give directions to their house. And when they got to their house, they managed to get a hold of the neighbor. And the neighbor had the phone number to Janet's mom. And the police had a chance to call Janet's mom. And Janet's mom came and met with her daughter. And if we can apply that to our spiritual lives, it's when we are in the wrong places, when we get distracted. And Satan, the taskmaster, throws trials, throws tribulations on our way just to distract us from living a faithful life. But every time we get distracted, there's only one way to go back home. And the only way to go back home is to remember what was done at the cross of Calvary. It's not just any cross. Many people got crucified. But it's that specific cross of Calvary that will help us to go back home. And it's not our earthly home, but our heavenly home. It's our heavenly home. So every time we are faced with different trials, difficult, fiery tribulations, we should remember what was done at the cross. And every time we have that in mind, we will be able to go back home one day and spend eternity with Christ our Father. So let's go to Revelation 21. 21, verse 4. Amen. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. This world has made many of us to shed tears, right? But one day we have hope that Christ shall wipe away all tears. Just keep in mind the houses we live in, the apartments we might be living in, and just compare that to what Christ has gone to prepare for us. Because Christ has his intellect, or his intellect is far beyond measure, right? And he's the one who will be preparing a place for us to stay. So we should always have that in mind, that one day we shall be able to live in mansions made by Jesus himself, walk on streets of gold, and drink from the water that comes from the throne of God. So that should be the goal. Because one thing with the battle between, because we are living in a great controversy, right, between good and evil. One thing that will keep us on track is looking at the final goal. Every time we keep our eyes focused, only then shall we be able to be steadfast and be strong in our faith and not be shaken. Because fiery trials might come our way, that's guaranteed. But only when we have our eyes on the goal, we shall be able to stand. I would like to do the closing prayer. So let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Mighty, ever-living God, we come to you this moment thanking you for the blessing of you speaking to us this day. How we do pray that we might be able to apply the knowledge we've learned in our normal lives. How we do pray that you might increase our faith in you. May we be able to fully depend on you when we are faced with trials and tribulations. May we not be quick to forget the far you've brought us and the many difficult circumstances that you've manifested and helped us out. How we do pray that we might be the light in pitch darkness. How we pray that we might be able to possess that character of Christ. And every time we are faced with different trials and tribulations, how I pray that the only fruits that we might be revealing are the fruits that you want us to reveal. How we do pray that every time we go back to our normal lives, to our normal occupations, we might be your representatives, your ambassadors, people who speak like you, people who think like you, people who behave just like you want us to behave. And I do ask that you might humble us, and may we be meek and humble. And I do ask that we, as we'll be going back home, give us journey masses and keep us safe on the roads. For it's in Jesus' name that we believe and pray. Amen. Closing hymn.
Please stand as we sing our closing hymn, 534.
The cave. listen to the rock which cannot move. Stand firm and deep in the Savior's love. If to save the mortal the storm withstand, fortress well secured by the Savior's hand, and the cables stretched from his heart to thine can defy the blast whose strength divine. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fast to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. And firmly hold in the straits of fear, when the breakers tell that the reef is near. Through the tempest strait and the wild winds blow, God an angry wind shall our cargo flow. We have an anchor that keeps us soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It will sure we hold in the floods of death, when the waters cold chill our latest breath. On the rising tide it can never fail, while our hopes abide within the veil. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Let our eyes behold in the dawning light, shining gates of pearl our harbor bright. We shall anchor fast to the heavenly shore, with the storms all past forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps our soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
I would like to make an appeal for everyone who feels like they need their strength renewed, who feels like they need strength and patience, as we will be facing different challenges in our lives, that we might not be wearied by the footmen, that we might not be tired as we'll be racing with the horses, and that we might not be stopped by the floodplains of the Jordan. So I would like those of us who like to be strengthened by Jesus Christ this day to come forward so that we can have a word of prayer. And have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and we are all weak, and to those who have no might. He increases strength. We need strength so that we might not get weary while racing with footmen and horses. And even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Mighty, ever-living God, we come to you this moment. And Jesus, we know that you were not weary when you ran with the footmen. You were not weary when you competed with the horses. You were not weary when you came across the flooded Jordan plains. And how we ask that that you might strengthen us this day. Give us hope, give us courage. How we ask that we might not forget the far you brought us. How we ask that we might not forget the much you've done for us for the plan of redemption. And we do pray that as we will be going back to our usual lives, how I ask that we might be that light. How I ask that we might be that person who bears the character of Christ. And how I ask that you might grow us spiritually, for we are all learning the spiritual journey. And we do pray that one day we might be able to meet you face to face and spend eternity with you, mighty and living God. And it's in Jesus' name that we believe and pray. Amen. Amen.